We're doing the Navi Yeshaya, Isaiah. We're up to what they call the 23rd chapter. The Navi had been discussing the city of Tzor. Now, Tzor, otherwise known as Tyre, was an island that had rich commerce. And Tzor was celebrating the destruction of Jerusalem because they figured all the wealth that's taken out of Jerusalem will pass through Tzor, through Tyre, and they will benefit greatly from the destruction of Jerusalem. We discussed that Tzor in the prophets often represents all of Edom. Often when the Navi discusses Tzor, the Navi is really discussing our nemesis, the people of Edom. And the Navi is describing how this island, this great island, this great city of commerce will be destroyed, and how everyone will lament the destruction of Tzor. And the Navi continues in Pasuk Vav. Again, we're up to what's called the 23rd chapter, the 6th Pasuk. Ivru Tarshisha, that now the people will have to pass and do their commerce in the city of Tarshish. They will no longer be able to frequent Tzor. Heililu Yoshevei, all the inhabitants of the different islands will be in sorrow because they will no longer have that great source of material goods. The city of Tzor will be destroyed. Hazot lachem alizam. You, Tzor, thought that you would be a city of celebration. You thought you would continue your golden era. You would always celebrate. You'd always have rejoicing. Mimei kedem kadmata yovilu haragleha merachok lagu. Mimei kedem, from back in the day. The city has a long history. They've been living there forever. Mimei kedem, from way back when. Kadmata, its history goes way back when. Yoviluha ragleha. The Navi says the people of this city would have people from afar coming to it. Mimekedem, from way back when, people would migrate to Tzor to live there. And even when there was a danger of enemies attacking, so people always felt, I could go to Tzor, everything will be okay. So people would come from afar, merachok, from far away they would come, lagur, to live in the city of Tzor. Mi ya'atz zot. The Navi looks at Tzor, that's so wealthy, that has such great merchants, and says, who thought of this idea to destroy it? Mia atzot, who had this idea, this plan? Alzo hamatira, about Tzor, the city that's crowned, the glorified city. Asher socharei sarim, that the merchants of Tzor are like nobles because they're respected wherever they go. Kinaneha nichbadei aretz. What is the word kinaneha? Kinaneha is its merchants. And that's why some say that the word Canaan, the land of Israel, was often called the land of Canaan, and we don't understand why. So there are two reasons. The simple understanding is that Israel was always on the trade route. Merchants would always frequent Israel. When you're traveling from Africa, it could be Russia, from Asia, from Europe, Israel stands directly on the trade route. So that's a simple understanding as to why the land would be called Eretz Canaan, the land of merchants, because everyone would travel through this land. We have a midrash that says that this is a gift that God gave to the people of Canaan, because the one tribe, the Girgashi, when they heard that God had told the people of Israel they would get the land of Israel, so they said, if that's what God says, we're out of here. And out of respect for God's words, they packed their bags and traveled down to Africa. They said, we're leaving. If God wants to give it to the people of Israel, they can have it. We're not standing in the way. And because one of the tribes of Canaan left, So Canaan merited that the land would be named after him until we entered the land. And that's why the land was called the land of Canaan. That's what the Medrash says. So back to our pasuk. The Navi looks at this great metropolis and says, who had this idea that the city would be destroyed? The city had such respect wherever you went. Whose plan was it? Says the Navi in Pasuk Tet, Adonai Tzevaot Ye'atzah. It is Hashem who controls the armies. He had this decision. Lechalel Geon Kol Tzevi. Because they were so arrogant, God wanted to put down the arrogance of the land so that people who take pride, wherever they are, will learn a lesson. Lehakel kol nichmadei aretz. Throughout the land, people who take themselves so seriously, who demand such honor, when they see the honor of the greatest metropolis brought down to its knees, that'll teach them a lesson as well. Ivri artzeich kayeor. The Navi says, the people of Tarshish who are in Tzor, they've come there to do business. The Navi warns them, you should be swift to go back to your lands. Whoever's visiting Tyre, go back home. Quickly evacuate. Ivri artzeich, go past to your own lands, kayor, as swiftly as the Nile flows. But Tarshish, you the people of Tarshish, I strongly recommend you run. Ein mezach od. The Navi warns them, Tsar is no longer strong. You cannot trust them to protect you. Mezach is a word for strength, for might. The Navi says, get out of there. Don't think you're safe. Even though Tsar was considered a powerful city, he says, no, they no longer have any strength. Yado nata al hayam. The Navi describes it as though God extended his hand over the sea, and he's decided that no one else is bringing their merchandise to Tzor. Hirgiz mamlachot. God aroused the heart of the different kings to come quickly to destroy Tzor. Adonai tziva el Kenan lashmid ma'uzneha. God commanded that this city of merchants, notice that Tzor is also called Kenan, the city of merchants, that the city will have all their scales destroyed. The Navi is focusing on their source of commerce, where you use a scale to weigh what you're buying and selling, and that's a way of saying, it's like saying, we're going to knock down the Twin Towers. Okay, you want to hit the center of the finance. So if their finance revolves around commerce, so the Navi says God's going to destroy their scales. Vayomer, God has declared, Lotosifiod la'aloz, you're going to cease to celebrate. Here, Tsar was celebrating at the destruction of Jerusalem. God says, no more celebrations. Hame'ushaka, the city of Tsar that will be plundered. Betulat bat Sidon. The virgin, he calls her a virgin because she never suffered foreign forces. She never had any enemy go on its soil and take away its sovereignty. So the Navi says, now Tsar is going to discover that she was like a virgin. Now she's going to discover what life is really like. Betulat bat Sidon. Kitim kumi avori kisham lo yanuach lach. They will no longer have cause for celebration. On the contrary, the people of Tsar will run to the land of Kitim, and they'll think that maybe there we could settle down and do our trade again. And the Navi says, no, she's going to meet up with merchants, but she will not meet up with peace. She will not be able to get back into business. Lo yanuach lach. They won't be able to rest. Hein eretz kasdim. The city of Tsar is really a descendant of the land of Kasdim. And the land of Kasdim, ze ha'am lo haya. But this is a nation that's new to this territory. Ashu yisada letziyim. because Ashur, who headed the empire of the Kasdim, he actually set up this city for the Litziyim, so that the people who set up ships, that was like the lowest class in those days, the people who would fix the ships. So Ashur Yisada Litziyim, the city of Tsor, which is a descendant of Kasdim, was not always this famous city. Zeha'am lo haya, this nation was never so famous. Ashur Yisada Litziyim, when Ashur set up this whole system, he set up that would be an area for the lowest class, where ships could dock and have the simple workers fix their ships. Heikimu vachonav. Now the people of Ashur, they built the city, they set up castles in the city, but they are going to come back. They who built the cities are going to come back and destroy the cities. Meaning the history of Tsor is that they were from Kasdim. Ashur helped them establish themselves as a merchant city. And now Ashur is going to come back and uproot the castles of Tsor. And he will plunder and destroy and make Ashur and make Tsor into a dump. The Navi says the ships that were always traveling to Tarshish are now going to weep because they're going to see Kishudad Ma'uzchen. They're going to see that their strength, they always relied on Tsar, and they're going to see how Tsar was plundered, and now all merchants will be wary. Vehaya bayom ahu. What's going to happen then, says the Navi? Venishkach Tsor shivim shana. Tsar will be forgotten for 70 years. This is the great Medrash, that there was a tsunami that came on the island of Tsar and wiped it out. So Tsar is going to be forgotten for 70 years. No one will return to do business there. Kimei melech echad, like the days of one king. Who's the one king? King David. So King David lived for 70 years. And the Navi over here is alluding to a sin that was weighing down on Tsor. Back in the days of King David, King David made a treaty with the king of Tsor. He made a treaty with Hiram, the king of Tsor. And the treaty was, I won't hurt you, you don't hurt me. And when it came time for the destruction of the temple, so then Tsor turned on their treaty. They turned on the peace treaty and they partook of the destruction of Israel. And that's why it was decreed that they will be destroyed for 70 years, corresponding to the 70 years of King David, because they went back on the treaty with King David. Miketz shivim shana yeh litzor keshirat hazona. So the Navi says, Tsar will be like the song of a prostitute. And the Navi is saying that the way of a woman of ill repute is that people don't really care for her. They care what they can get out of her. And that's exactly what's happening with Tsar. Tsar will be destroyed. And then after 70 years, Tsar will be re-established. And suddenly she'll have lovers. All those people who think they can benefit from doing commerce with Tsar will suddenly return. And she will do advertising just like a woman of ill repute starts singing to show people how beautiful she is. She wants to arouse people and then they come as though they love her and really they have no care for her. They just want to use her. By the same token, Tsar is going to try to arouse all her friends, all her old contacts to come back. And they will come back, but there won't be any real connection because it'll be a relationship of profit. The nations will come back to Tsar simply to try and benefit from it. So that's what the Navi is saying. They will have a renaissance. They will have a reawakening, but it won't be part of what they'll realize is that they don't really have any relationship with anyone. They just need the commerce. They need the contacts, and that's what's going to happen. Tsar will come back, but they'll be seeking to attract the nations just for business.
Is that always? what kind of international relations is like.
Even the prostitute analogy, I mean, she is also not doing it out of love for these people.
Let's think about that for a minute. If we look at the beginning of the beginning of the pasuk is saying you had a covenant. You had a real relationship with someone. And you turned on that. And now when you'll come back, the Navi says to Tzar, the payment for that is... You won't have it anymore. And I think that on many levels it's part of what all of humanity seeks.
It's excellent. It's certainly true in the first analogy, but in international relations, they say there's only interests, friends. But in the first one, right? I think it's tragic because right, both people are going for something that they get.
But I think that I think we have to look deeper into the analogy. I'm saying between what's going on here.
Maybe in Messianic times we will have that real love for fellow and real relationship with the people who come at Sukkot with the 70 nations and everything. Like that. Maybe.
I was going to say, taking the...
I don't know, am I going wrong here?
No, the answer is something which I'm not sure you're ready to hear.
Probably.
No, I think you're going to take it the wrong way. I'll say it, and then you can, if you don't accept it yet... Think about it.
There's a lot of things that are understandable that I don't understand.
No, I don't mean you specifically. I mean in general. Yeah. Our history, even as a people, and even if you look at it now, is that we as a people were repeatedly prepared to connect with other nations, even on a national level. What you're describing is the rest of the world. But if you look at Israel, historically, the people of Israel have been prepared to make a real connection with the nations. And we've put our money where our mouth is. And you can even look at the last 60 years and see that.
It's interesting. It goes perfectly with what you were saying before about one of the things that defines Jews.
Yeah.
You have to be ready for that.
Yeah. I'm saying, what other nation in the world would do what we've done after the Six-Day War, after the Yom Kippur War?
And therefore they feel we have to be guilty. Because from their mentality, who would do that?
Right. I'm saying, but even if you look back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm saying we were always prepared. We were willing to take in the Erev Rav. Think what that means. Even now, we have here in Jerusalem, we have the children of Nazis who have converted, and we accept them. Unfortunately, it's happened here and there where people were not nice to them, but I'm saying in general, we have been accepting. We are willing as a people to connect with other people. I agree with you that for the nations, it doesn't work that way. It's all a matter of interest. For us, it's not that way. And consistently in our history, we haven't been that way.
Of course, some of us have adopted their outlook, unfortunately, and hopefully
to some degree, but you see that the majority of the people are not that way. The majority of the approach of the people of Israel, look at us all over the world. Look at where we...
Anytime there's a disaster in Haiti, there's anything right? Anywhere, who's the first there?
Yeah, I'm saying, so our relationships here are...
This is taking place, by the way, while I got you for a second. What time period? After the destruction of
The Navi Yeshaya is prophesizing about what's going to happen after the destruction of the first temple. Right.
I was going to say, ties in with the reading that Zohar is Edom, then?
So... I'm not sure, because if Tzar represents Edom, then I can't understand how King David would make a treaty with them. So that's why I don't know. The Navi in Yechezkel, you see, what I'm supplementing what we're reading here with the Navi in Yechezkel. The Navi describes how Tzar said about Israel, Imalea hechoreva. Meaning, the way I'm interpreting as we're reading here is based on how the Navi describes that when the destruction was coming, the people of Tzar said, we will become full of wealth from the destruction of Jerusalem. And that Nevuah seemingly is speaking about the same Tzar. The only thing is that about that Nevuah, the Gemara tells us in Tractate Megillah that teaches us a constant a balance of powers between us and Edom. It's like a seesaw. You can't have both sides up at once. If one's up, the other one's down. There's no... Edom and Israel can't both be up at the same time. Yaakov and Esav. Now, if that is this tsar, and this tsar is Hiram, then how did King David make a peace treaty with him? So that's why I'm not sure what to do with it. I don't know.
To make a temporary Hutba kind of peace treaty, you know, where you just... We have a truce for now, but not a, maybe.
Doesn't seem that way. No, you see, the Navi holds it against them. I don't know.
Like you say,
I don't know. Don't know. Okay, we have one more pasuk about Tzor. Ve'ayasach ra ve'etnana. The wages of Tzor will be Kodesh Ladonai. The people of Tzor will take their profits and will willingly dedicate it to God. Lo ye'atzel v'lo ye'chasen. They will not fill their storages of this wealth. Kila yoshevim lifnei Adonai yesacha. All the profits of Tzor will be dedicated to the temple. Lechol lesova vilimchase atik. To be eaten till satiation and to cover those that are atik, which in this context means those that are strong. So ultimately, the wealth of Tzor, when Tzor will come back, they will dedicate their wealth to the temple. Is the Navi talking about the Second Temple era? Were there such pious people during the Second Temple era who dedicated their money? Is the Navi talking about what's going to happen in future days? It certainly seems that this part of the prophecy is for messianic times. And that's really what the Radak comments over here. The other commentaries don't mention that, but that seems to be the case here. The Radak spells it out, that after concluding the discussion of Tzor, the Navi concludes with the prophecy of what's yet to come in messianic times, that this Pasuk is different than the rest of the prophecy. This Pasuk describes how Tzor will ultimately dedicate their wealth to the temple. And that brings us to a conclusion of the prophecy on Tzor. And now we're going to turn back to Israel, and the next prophecy we'll see next week is going back to the people of Israel in the land of Israel.
Is the connection like a